Open your Bibles with me this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. This is the Apostle Paul writing here, and he says, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." I like this passage of Scripture at this time of year, because this time of year is a time of celebration, right? You might be sitting here, I don't know what your Christmas season is like, and maybe you're sitting here and you're kind of exhausted and you're glad for an hour to just sit in a pew. Or maybe it is a almost childlike time of celebration for you in your life. We actually went to Grand Rapids yesterday, and we stayed late enough so that it got dark out, and we were able to drive around and look at lights in neighborhoods in Grand Rapids, which I'll just put a plug in there. If you're looking for really good Christmas lights to go look at that are in, you know, clumped in neighborhoods, lots to look at in one place, it's worth the drive. A week from now, we're actually going to celebrate Christmas, but really, that isn't just one day. We've been celebrating Christmas since Thanksgiving, and if you're Hobby Lobby, you've been celebrating Christmas well before Thanksgiving. But it's at least a one-month celebration, isn't it? We spend the whole month with decorating our houses and putting up Christmas trees. We buy gifts for each other. We sing Christmas carols. We focus on the different themes of Advent, which, by the way, today is the Sunday of joy. That would be why that's up on the screen. We, as a church, together along with the other churches in our community, at the beginning of this month, had a service together. That was our community Christmas service. Kind of that to start the whole thing off, celebrating together what we have in common in the gospel. We have fun. We spend time with family, but we also spend time in serious contemplation of that central theme of the holiday, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But Christmas is not the only holiday that we celebrate around this time of year. In 2 weeks, what will we be celebrating? The new year. Folks, 2023 is done. We're about to go into 2024. But some of you are sitting here thinking, 2024. Now, you know, some of us can go back to the 1980s and 2024, that was so far off in the future, you know, computers will be ruling the world and humans will be fighting them, right? I mean, that's what Hollywood was telling us back then. But we didn't think of wow, we're going to be alive then, but we are. Here we are. We're about to celebrate a new year. And once again, New Year's is not something we celebrate really just as one day. When we celebrate New Year's Day, we celebrate the whole past year and the whole year to come, right? We look at the past and we look forward to the future. That day is kind of that day that encompasses everything, and we're reminded of the passage of time, for better or worse. So if you haven't yet, you will probably come across on TV or on the internet somewhere along the way where they talk about the major events of 2023. This year's been full of some pretty heavy stuff. We have the ongoing war in Ukraine. We have the war in Israel. Those are the two major events that are in the front of the news. And in fact, as we think about that, sometimes that overshadows other things that have happened during the year, and sometimes the big events make it hard for us to remember the smaller events. Probably you will see something along the way where they put pictures of famous people that have passed away in 2023. And I know in our home, inevitably, every year, we say, oh, I didn't know they died. Or more often it's, I didn't know they were still alive. They just died this year. You know, when they say that somebody was 100 and something years old and you think, well, they, what? But we're always surprised by that. But we'll see that. There'll be those events from the past year that'll be talked about that we've completely forgotten about until it's brought up and we say, oh yeah, that was just this past year. Boy, that seems like that happened 2 or 3 years ago. That was just this year? Because time gets away from us like that. So this morning I want to combine these two holidays. I want for us to celebrate Christ, which of course we celebrate Christ all the time. It's not just at Christmas. But let's celebrate Christ in the context of this New Year celebration. Let's consider the past, present, and future. Let's consider the impact of Jesus Christ, our Savior, on our past, present, and future. So let's look at our passage again. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, and it says, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I do make every effort to take hold of it because I have also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." So the very first thing that we can celebrate is we can celebrate because Christ has put away the past. I'm always a little surprised that I don't get more of an amen for that one. Maybe your past has just been grand. It's good news at the end of a year, though. Suppose that all of these news reports that are coming out about all the things that happened during 2023 got more personal. And all of a sudden you see on the TV screen that they're going to talk about you. They're going to talk about your 2023 and the things that you did and the things that you said in this past year. Now, when they do those news stories about stuff, they don't just cover all the good news, do they? They cover the bad news, too. We have that saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And we know that is usually applied to well-known names, you know, the people that everybody knows who they are. And when they fall hard, and the news just goes after them. But what if it was you? What if a reporter called you and said, you know what, we're going to do a story on everything about you for this past year, even your most private moments. We're going to dig in. Are you getting nervous that they want to do that? There might have been choices that you made in this past year that you regret making. Maybe there are things that you've said to people this past year and you wish you could take it back. But we all know. Once we say it, we can't take it back. It's been said. Every one of us, I think, has those things that we say, I wish I wouldn't have done that, or I wish I wouldn't have said that. And when we think that, the temptation is for us to dwell on that and to find ourselves in regret. We go over those things in our minds. Have you ever done that? You go over, man, you just kick over and over again. I was so stupid to have said that, or I was so stupid to have done that. And you know what? Often when we do that to ourselves, nobody else even remembers. We remember it, and we feel so stupid about it, and nobody else even remembers that we did or said that thing. When we do that, we give in. When we give in to that temptation of dwelling on our past sins or our past regrets, we fall into failure over and over again. What is the failure? The failure is to accept the word of God for what it tells us. Look at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. Paul tells us here that he knows he hasn't arrived yet. I know I have not come to perfection. He wasn't perfect. He didn't have it all together. He didn't have all perfect days. The Apostle Paul was like you or me. There were times when he probably said things that he was kicking himself for saying that. There were times when he had a bad day. In fact, Paul had a lot more than just, boy, that was a stupid thing to say. Paul had a past that he could look at and say, how awful of a person was I? I was actually persecuting and killing Christians. I was actually fighting against God, and I thought I was doing God's work while I was doing the fighting. He could have spent all sorts of time in regret and beat himself up over that. And he says here that even though he arrived at perfection, he is able to put the past behind him and reach forward because he understands a certain truth that we find in Scripture. That truth is found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, John's the one that wrote that, but Paul knew that truth, and so he was able to say, forgetting those things that are behind. You see, it's the same Holy Spirit who was inspiring John that was inspiring Paul in their writings. That's why we call the Bible the Word of God, not the Word of Paul or the Word of John or the Word of Matthew. They are the ones who wrote the words down, but it was God who led them to write. The same Holy Spirit for each one of them in writing what they wrote. And so while John wrote that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Paul also then wrote in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why could Paul forget the regrettable things of his past and reach forward without falling into embarrassment and shame? Well, he could because he understood that Jesus took care of all of it at the cross. When Jesus died for our sins, he erased our sins. There's no more completely permanent eraser than the blood of Jesus Christ. So because of Jesus' sacrifice, our sins are not only forgiven, they're forgotten. We can reach forward and we can do it with joy in our hearts, knowing that we have been cleansed and there is no uncleansing that can happen to us. We can forget those things in the past that bring us shame and embarrassment because we know that God Himself has wiped those things from the record altogether. That's one of those mysteries, one of those things that boggles the mind, that the all-knowing eternal God, He knows everything from the end to the beginning and everything in between. His knowledge is complete. There's nothing that escapes God's mind, and yet He says that He forgets our sins. Sounds like it's not possible that He could forget our sins if He's the all-knowing God who knows absolutely everything about every detail, but He tells us He forgets our sins. He wipes them out. And when He looks at you as His child, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we can celebrate that Christ has put away our past and made us new creatures. So secondly then, we can celebrate because Christ is with us in the present. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. The prophets marveled at the salvation that was to come. Can you imagine God giving you this revelation that you are to write down, and you're writing it down and you're thinking, I don't even understand what I'm writing. I'm sure that Isaiah, in the things that he wrote, we often, you know, Isaiah 53 is that messianic passage that we often read. And we think, Wow, that's so clear. We can clearly see Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. But Isaiah was writing it, not knowing that he was writing about Jesus, because he's simply writing what he's being told to write. They diligently looked and searched and investigated into these things. They wanted to know about this. How could lawbreakers be forgiven? We live under a system of sacrifices. But these sacrifices do not take away our sin. They only cover our sin. That's why we have to sacrifice over and over again, year after year, they say. But those very prophets that were writing those words of prophecy, they were looking forward to that one whose blood would not just cover their sin, but would wash it away and make them clean. Once for all sacrifice, applied to sinners by grace through faith. And it's forever. Because of the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, we can be born again. A spiritual birth into God's family. He places His Holy Spirit in us and He stays with us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit living in you is that guarantee of the salvation that God has given you? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "In Him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed." Sealed. Our salvation is not just forgiveness of past sins. It's a present salvation. Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you can count on Jesus' promise, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man may do to me." You don't need to be afraid of what anybody can do to you, because you have a present salvation. You have the presence of God with you, in you. You belong to Him. The worst that anybody can do to any one of us is kill us. All right. But you know what? They can only kill the body. They can't take anything away from you. You belong to Christ. So, He's taken care of our past and He's with us right now. And because He is with us and will never leave us, we can celebrate because Christ will be with us in the future. Now, maybe 2023 was not a year of regret and embarrassment for you. Maybe you had a great year. You had just the best year ever and everything went right for you. The car started every time you got in to turn the key. You never had a flat tire. Your job, well, they gave you a promotion and a raise. That says absolutely nothing to any of you that are retired, right? Maybe you retired this year and you're happy about that. Maybe things have gone great. You can look back over the last 12 months and you can rejoice and say, "God has truly blessed. I didn't even say anything stupid this year." Maybe it was the achievement of a significant goal. And that's great. And we can look back on that type of thing and we can express true gratitude to God for all that He has accomplished in our lives. But even with the good things, we need to be careful that we don't live in the past, because the best is yet to come. I still remember the story. I don't know if I've told this one or not, but I remember a story that a pastor friend of mine told. He was at a funeral and he looked at the lady in the casket and she had a fork in her hand. And she had put in her will that she wanted to be buried with a fork in her hand. He said, "Why does she have a fork in her hand?" He said, "Because she always used to say, you are finished with a meal, they always say, hang on to your fork because dessert's on its way." And she said, "I want that fork in my hand in my casket because the best is yet to come. And I'm not done." So whether it's been good year or it's been a bad year, remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That is the strength for today. That is the strength to get us through each day of this life, is knowing that it can't even compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. God is using the present and the experiences of the present to prepare us for that day. But none of this stuff can even compare. Even death can't steal our hope for the future. Christ is with us now in the person of the Holy Spirit, but when this life is over, we stand in the presence of Christ himself, and we know that we'll be with him forevermore from that moment on. So the future is as bright as the promises of God. And you know what God has promised us? Eternal life. That's pretty bright. That's a pretty good future to look forward to. So as we look forward to the day that he will return, we should be sobered by that thought, and we should heed the words of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." We know that we've been forgiven. Because we know that Christ will one day come for us, we can say with the Apostle Paul, "Forgetting what is behind, I reach forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." We don't just say, "Well, yeah, Christ has forgiven me and he's gotten rid of the past, so I'll just sit down and not be anything new." No, he's made us new. He's washed away the old and he's made us new so that we can press on, so that we can live for him, so that we can be unashamed at his coming. We can press on and pursue that prize. So with that in mind, popular thing this time of year is making New Year's resolutions, right? And I like to do this each year. I like to share this New Year's resolution each year. I've shared it in the past, but I bet you don't remember, because I bet some of you don't even remember what you had for breakfast this morning. So let me share it for you again. I don't even remember what I had for breakfast this morning. But here, I think, is a great New Year's resolution for us as the children of God. I will, like Paul, forget those things which are behind, and I'll press forward. Like David, I will lift up my eyes to see that my help comes from the Lord. Like Abraham, I will trust implicitly in my God. Like Moses, I will choose rather to suffer with the oppressed than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Like Job, I will be patient under all circumstances. Like Gideon, I will advance even though my friends are few. Like Isaiah, I will consecrate myself to do God's work. Like Andrew, I will strive to lead my brother to Christ. Like John, I will lean on the Master and partake of his Spirit. Like Stephen, I will manifest a forgiving spirit toward all who seek to hurt me. Like Timothy, I will study the Word of God. And like Jesus himself, overcome all earthly enticements to live in perfect fellowship with the Father. Realizing that I cannot hope to achieve these objectives in my own strength, I will by God's grace rely upon Christ. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. And before I close, I just want to share, I shared this with the high school class this morning, the Sunday school class. I was in there for a little bit with them this morning, and I had them turn to John chapter 16. So turn to John chapter 16. And I want you to look down at the very end of that chapter. Jesus says to his disciples, I've told you these things, verse 33, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous, I have conquered the world. Or your translation might say, I have overcome the world. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say you must overcome. And it doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say, I will overcome. What does it say? I have overcome. I have conquered. Jesus has won the victory. We're not waiting for a victory to be won. It's done. We're living in the victory of Jesus Christ. Now, your day-to-day life might not feel victorious every day. But you can live in the knowledge that Jesus Christ has already won the victory. He has already overcome, and you are in Him. And so because of that, you can endure anything and everything this life brings along. And one day we will be with Him. So let's go, let's finish out 2023 with a great Christmas celebration and go into 2024 rejoicing that Jesus Christ has overcome and we are in Christ to the praise of God's glory. Father, I thank you for this time we could spend this morning being reminded from your word of the joy that we have in you. I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to overcome and that He has overcome. That He has taken our sins away and they are remembered no more. And that we can walk in your strength and in your grace and in your love. We can do so now and we can look forward to the new year walking in you in victory. And I pray that it would be so evident in our lives that others would want to know about the hope that we have within so that we might share with them the wonders of your salvation. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.